on a dark water flowage, cool wind in my hair, big cloud of mosquitoes rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a cloud of bait. My head heavy and my sights dim, I have to cast for the night. Yeah, she swam in the weed bed, I heard the mission bell. This could be the fish I need, gotta think this thing through very well. Then she looked at my bucktail, and she swam away. Never saw that fish again, I got one thing to say. Listen to the Musty 360 podcast, you would have caught that fish, you would have caught that fish. Plenty to learn at the Musty 360 podcast, any time of year, you can find it here.
Welcome to the Musky 360 podcast, Jaybird.
360 Steve.
I freaking hate the Eagles.
Ooh, what's going on?
Man, goodness gracious. I can take them all in singularities like Don Henley. Got some great songs. Love Joe Walsh, but the Eagles together. I feel like the dude from Big Lebowski makes me want to just peel my freaking eyeballs out. Anyway, you were out and about today. I got a text from you. What's going on up north, Jay? You were smacking them on the Titan today, I believe, correct? Or is Titan Junior? What happened?
Titan Junior. Yeah, I just got off the water. Yeah, well, typical weekend off. Massive cold front crashes through yesterday, and the temperatures drop in the afternoon. And today, guess what, Steve? Hey. High bright skies, a little northwest wind, and highs in the 60s. So
there you go. Skanky.
Put on my number one cold front bait, Titan Junior. You know, you downsize a little bit, and you give them the erratic thing, and you work the weed edges. And so you got a big walleye, got some pike, and smallmouth.
PB alert, Jason.
Big walleye, yeah.
PB.
No muskies, though.
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I hate PB. Got my new PB. Frickin', come on now. Come on. Let's be honest with each other. No, that's cool, man. I was happy.
That bait is deadly, man. It really is.
It is
so good. It catches everything, and it is so good in weeds. It is so... There's such weedless characteristics to it.
I had a combo with a dude on the boat this week where, again, I hope people appreciate my not beating the crap out of stuff I made. You know what I'm saying? Like every week, like get old, but, you know, try to lay off of them after we kind of talk about how to use them and everything. But, you know, a lot of dudes catching big fish on Titans. Bunch of Kraken catches coming up here. Something about that I'm going to get into a minute. As far as this tubi kind of thing, we're going to talk about kind of a weird subject here before we get to Q&A, because this week we've been overloaded with Q&A, so we'll hit that in a moment. But, you know, Jay, what I'm hearing up north, you know, I'm listening to the freaking Josh Krieger's Muskie Report. You listen to Danny Herbeck and Jamie Bastilli. They're doing reports on the app right now. If you don't know that, covering that. There is a Northwoods Muskie Report. It comes out, I believe, every Thursday, right? I think it's pretty much Thursday, which gives you a heads up if you're heading to the Northwoods. Danny Herbeck, Jamie Pastilli, they're doing a Muskie Report for Canada that gives you the heads up before you get to the lodge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can stop at the Muskie Shop or whatever. Whatever's hitting, they're going to tell you what the baits that are, whether the hot baits, Jay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
95 calls an hour at the Muskie Shop. Hey, what's hot?
Yeah.
What's cooking, well,
yeah,
baby?
A lot. Yeah.
What's cooking? You know, so that's going on. So, I'm sorry, I'm in a mood. But,
yeah.
No, both those reports will kind of give you the heads up. But you know, what's happening there. But where I was going with this, I have no clue. Because it is, they say, they make this in 36-ounce cans, Jay. But but I think where I was going would be, you know, when you got cold fronts, you got difficult conditions, like Krieger's lining it up for what's happening. Obviously, he's thinking about the cold fronts coming or the Canadian thing. What can we do in tough conditions? That's always the question, right, Jay? No one needs help. No one needs help with throw a top raider out, turn the handle. I hope not, right? We could talk about what not to do regarding hook sets or something of this nature, but, you know, how do we dial in when things aren't perfect? And that's what I love, like, with the Titan Junior, like you're saying, man, smacking that your PB walleye. You've cut a bunch of – actually, you caught one of the biggest smallies I've seen in a long time. We did that in a video one time where you cut a Mondo smallie on that guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that trip with Josh over over Negro River somewhere.
You know, here very shortly, we're going to use a Titan Junior to shim the door open at the Smitty's house so we don't get locked in, though. Right? We got some
preventative measures. I like that. It's thinking ahead.
Think about it, dude. Titan.
That guy will mess you up.
You want the door shut at their house? No. That exit is unlockable from the inside.
Yeah, that's what a SEAL would do. The first thing you do is just like, okay, where are my exits?
Right.
Because I'm stepping into a potential nightmare.
When you said a SEAL, I thought about ar, 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 ar. That kind of SEAL. Like, not a Navy SEAL. Just a ar, ar, ar kind of SEAL, which is even funnier.
Okay.
But, yeah, watch your six with the Smitty's. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say. I'm not saying they're backstabbers, but they might stab you in the back to take you down, like a bobcat on a deer. So I'm excited. I'm headed up to your way here very shortly. I know I've got an afternoon. Me and Jay are gonna go hang out with the Smitty's. Jay, I've got to tell you kind of what the plan is there, like an expose, if you will. What's going on there with the Smitty's? We'll dive into it. We'll look at it. So it'll be cool. Very, very, very excited. Very excited, Jay. Four varies. For them.
Okay, what is it?
Were you making fire with a bow drill? What was that?
There's fires in the backyard. Neighbor Steve is in party mode right now.
If those were your hands, you need lotion.
Been on the water all day, man.
Dang. They don't have any of them finger dams in the office for touching all those envelopes all week.
The
bills really taken out of my hands. They're very dry. I'm just back there with Rudis. That's why Tom's so sick, the amount of paperwork.
Hey, neighbor Steve, say hi to Steve. Hey, can you hear him?
neighbor, tell neighbor Steve to come here. Is he lit like a Roman candle?
I think there's some barbecuing going on. Come on. Hey, Robin.
We're going live to neighbor Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, that's Robin.
Hey, Robin.
There's wild dog. There's wild animals back here. Yep. Here comes Laika. Here she comes. You saw me. Yep. Okay. Hi, baby.
Today we're going to have plenty of extra bratwurst, so
get it there. Awesome. Thank you very much.
I need you to get to neighbor Steve.
Okay. I'm walking over now. Okay. Let me here.
Gonna speaker. Jay.
Oops, I hit the wrong.
Okay.
Are you on speaker?
Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Neighbor Steve, how are you? Oh my goodness. Neighbor Steve.
I couldn't be better. We just watched the Saint Germain parade.
Uh-huh.
And it's the ultimate right there.
Was David Duke there this year?
I think he was.
Neighbor Steve, I had Neighbor Steve, I had to get you on. You are absolutely podcast famous, and you found that out this week, didn't you?
I'm on, nothing to do with me.
No, I'm Jay. I'm on the boat, and this guy loves the podcast. Great people, wonderful people, and they're like, we think we know somebody that knows somebody that lives next to the guy at the Musky shop, right? like okay, Tom Rudis from the Musky shop lives in a cave, right?
Right. That's a given.
Freddie lives like 4 hours south in Tomahawk because he knows there's a deli there. And I was like, it's got to be Jay. And anyway, I had somebody on the boat that knows a relative of Neighbor Steve. So Neighbor Steve is podcast famous. He is the freaking Saint Germain party animal. Neighbor Steve.
I take that as the badge of honor.
You think? Let me put it this way. Me and Neighbor Steve have burnt her down in that garage a time or two. Yes,
he christened the Eagle River chain on his massive pontoon yesterday. Party barge. Had the whole family out there. First time out there. Listen, did the full cruise. Had a great time.
Listen, the last time me, Neighbor Steve, and Jay were in that garage, Jay christened the toilet bowl, okay? So we don't play.
Okay, we're gonna go back to podcasting. Hey, we talk to you later. Good talk. Bye, Leica. Okay, I'm back on the phones here. Leica's following me. I think she wants a treat. Okay, she's coming in. Come on.
You've heard the Beatles A Day in a Life. This is JSE A Day in the Life of Neighbor Steve's chilling and grilling.
Yep, he's grilling back there. Leica wants a milk bone, so give me 1 second here, Steve. Lots of things to do here.
Lots of things to do. Leica, the first dog in space.
Yep, she's my baby.
Anyway, you'll hear more of this here shortly. Neighbor frickin' Steve. Jay.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I think we're going to end up fishing with Neighbor Steve, doing a little filming here shortly.
We should try.
Oh, we're going to. It's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, it'll be epic. And Neighbor Steve smacked a big one. I think we mentioned it. One of our favorite people, Neighbor Steve.
He got a really big fish about a week ago. Good for him. He was very happy. Very happy.
He's a big podcaster. But how funny, Jay, you go in the backyard, you can't avoid it. It's either one side of you. There's that dojo to the left of you. And then Neighbor Steve to the right. What's up anyway, we'll talk about that later. We might do a GoFundMe for that, Jay.
We will probably need to.
I'm thinking, guys, if you remember Stimke last year, right?
Dick Stimke. Who could forget?
If you enjoy the Dick Stimke bit, we might have a little special project coming up. Anyway, so I'm sorry. We are way off base.
It's special.
It's special. So anyway... Going back to reality.
Okay.
You got Zigzag and Muskies on the app from Joe Booker. He's a walking the dog, right? We got the Northwoods Report. We got the Canter Report. Jay said it's a cold front. We're seeing a lot of different things here. And I did this little write-up, if you will. I think it's about 1,000 words. Go Midsummer Muskies, deep wet edge, deep weed edge basic patterns. Where... For a podcaster, it's nothing new. I'm talking about doing krakens, tubes, jerkbait presentations on the outside edge, the outside structural edge, right?
Sure.
Something you and I have done for 4 or 5 years, right? A lot of people are just now catching on to the power of tubes and the power of krakens and jerkbaits, basically in open water or suspended water. Something I was going to touch on, a little hot button, Jay. Ooh, caliente. Muy caliente. Is sharpshooting. Ah, dirty word. Dirty word.
To some.
Dirty white boy. Can remember Casey Kasem? I'm like, This week I've got a request from Melanie out of Oak, Tulsa, Oklahoma. She wants to hear Dirty White Boy from Loverboy or whatever. Who did the song Dirty White Boy, Jay?
I don't think it was Loverboy, but I'm not sure.
I'm Googling. I'm sorry, folks.
Okay, Google it.
Dirty. I hope there's a song called Dirty White Boy.
If you never know what might come up in the search results.
Oh, man. Foreigner. We've got a special request this week. Robin sends love to her husband neighbor Steve. She requested Dirty White Boy by Foreigner. Going out to the lovers today on the Musky 360 Top 40 Countdown. Dirty White Boy. Anyway, that is a new bait caller name if I've ever seen one. So, anyway, what's happening is a lot of guides, myself included, have been on the edge of panoptics and new electronics, right?
Sorry, it was a hard segue. Go ahead.
From Foreigner, Dirty White Boy to panoptics. Yeah, this is what you tune into every week, folks. Late-breaking, hard-hitting, musky news. So, focus. Find my chi, if you will, Jay.
Yes, yes.
So, a lot of guides have been dialed in on panoptics long before most average musky anglers decide to buy it. Right? I wish I got 10% of all the panoptics units I've sold off of my boat. That'd be nice. Right? People get on the boat, they see my panoptics set up, and they go, whoa! And you can see them, yeah. And you can do this. And I've had some interesting conversations this week with some top tier, like some of the best of the best musky guides. Jay, I called you about it. I call Jay pretty much every day and we're talking about it. And it's going to go on. I'm going to leave it alone now because there'll be future conversations about this. But who I talk to. There is a constituency of guides that are driving around and they're solely sharpshooting, right? They're driving around 4 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, panoptics pointed to left, panoptics to the right of me, here I am, musky in the middle of you, right? So, that was a steeler's wheel there, Jay. So what you can do with panoptics, you could literally just comb an open water basin. You could go out in 100 feet of water, 20 feet of water, whatever it is, and target suspended musky that you see on your live imaging.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening now, and I'm finally seeing it, and I'm starting to get feedback from some of the guys I know, muskies have caught on. Right?
Say again?
Muskies have caught on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so it's like one of these things. When bulldogs came out, they were unbeatable. And then... And I'm not, bulldogs are great, don't get me wrong, but there was a moment where they were absolute fire. Double tens were absolute fire, right? Once they've seen it, once they ate it, once they're conditioned to it, we have a problem, especially on pressured water. So my thought is, how do we beat the live scopers, right? I live scope. What I typically do is I'm using it down the side of my boat to see follows. If people that are listening to the podcast, I've been on my boat, plenty of you have, you'll realize, I'm not sitting here scanning or doing this. We're casting and seeing the follows. You know, in the past, I've sharp shot. I can sharpshoot. If you read the book, Next Level Musky Fishing, I actually talk about sharpshooting and a bunch of different ways to use panoptics there. But what is happening? The guides did it 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Now the clients and it's starting to spread. Now it's becoming a thing, right, Jay? It's no longer like an elite small group of people that are sharpshooting. There are groups of anglers going out, and I know this on 100% authority, going out on the water in Canada, three boats wide, like a trawling fleet sharpshooting.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm not going to regale you with the details, but this is the most authoritative source I know in muskie fishing in Canada. Says there are groups of boats headed out. They'll get the same kind of direction going, and they'll be 60 feet apart, and they are sharpshooting as groups. Right? Watched. It blew my mind. Four muskies get caught in the open water basin of Eagle Lake in wide open water. Right? Now, what is happening, a lot of muskies that have not been susceptible to this are getting picked up. And what people have done is instead of scanning edges, now they're scanning open water. Why are they not scanning edges so much as they were scanning open water? Well, the edge muskies are freaking out. Now they're moving to open water. And things are happening. I mean, I'm being serious where I'm rarely on pressure water, but there's some pressure bodies of water that I'll hit where if a fish kind of hits my live scope beam, it turns off. It's becoming a thing. If you don't think it's becoming a thing, I'm sorry. Right? 5 years ago, 4 years, whatever it is, talking live scope or whatever, you know, not many people had it. I can think of 50, 60 clients that have like text, what unit do I buy? Blah, 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 blah. Right? Money's no object. They got three, they got four on the boat. And people are freaking out. So, did a little experiment the other day. Took my GoPro submersible, put it near the Panoptix transducer. It sounds like you're popping popcorn, Jay. It is loud. Okay. It's machine gun fire. So I was kind of taken aback by that, right? A highly, highly, highly authoritative source on Canadian muskies was having a discussion with me this week. When he pulls onto a spot with live imaging going, he is seeing muskies that are suspended go down when they come into the beam. All right? Down literally to the bottom when they come into the range of visibility. He's also seeing walleyes will not eat directly below the boat on popular spots. So there is a modicum of Panoptix pressure that is starting now. I'm always trying to get ahead of the curve at all times, right? So whether you think there's Panoptix pressure or not is a moot point. Whether you think that muskies can be conditioned to electronics, I don't think is up for debate, right? Because guess what your sonars do? They go, right? They send out a pulse. The pulse is enough of a pulse that it hits the bottom and comes back. That is vibration. If you believe that muskies can recognize the difference between a single eight and a double eight and be conditioned, they can surely remember the pulse of a negative influence from a boat, right? I personally believe that Panoptix is going to become, and right now, in the next 2 years, it is going to become so pervasive that it's actually going to be a detriment to success. Ooh, dangerous. Nasty, nasty commentary. Why do you think that? Okay. I am seeing muskies come in well below the level of light penetration that will follow in and break off, right? The bait's there, the whole bit's there. The second that fish kind of hits that wall of where that's pointed, out, right? I'm hearing it from other guys. I'm telling you this not because I don't want you to use it. I use it. I'm telling you podcast listeners this from the fact so you're ahead of the pack. You know, Dr. Bob told me, he said, my goodness, It was a compliment and annoying all at once. He said, years back, he said, Panoptix is a powerful patterning tool. You remember that, Jay? We're talking about patterning, right?
Sure.
And everybody's like, oh, sharpshooting, blah, 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 blah.
And I said, ban them in tournaments. You're right.
I'm talking, this is a patterning tool. I talk about in the book, it's a patterning tool. He's like, everybody else now saying it's a hell of a patterning tool. Well, here is your chance to hear me out. It now has a positive and a negative connotation. It has been positive. I believe by the end of this year or into next year, there is now a yin and yang to Panoptix. Okay. So how do you know that? What are you doing? Well, the best way to get a grip on this thing is coming into a situation and turning it off and seeing what happens, right? Will Muskie come back immediately? Now, yes, there's a litany of factors. There's a litany of exponents that could change this, right? However, I can pause the transducer on my boat, right? Where it stops transmitting. Can do it quickly. I'm seeing this invisible wall. If you can imagine, this thing is pointed down the side of my boat. So the beam angle is going down the edge of my boat and out. Muskies at times will not break into that wall. They'll hit it and they'll turn off. When I turn it off, they make it all the way in the figure eight. That was my first indication. Like, whoa, something's up, right? Something is up. Fish vertical jigging, right? They'll flash in and they'll flash out. There is a pulse. There is a feel to this thing, right? Those are the first things I was like, huh, that's weird. Because like 2 years ago, Jay, forget about it. They swim right into it. Bang, gank them. Done. Right? Fish after fish after fish. You know, is a 31 incher going to turn off on this? No. But is a 48 that, you know, I caught 3 years ago going to go, something doesn't feel right. Right? That is where I started. I started to have these conversations with guides, and it's a sticky conversation, Jay, a little bit. Like, hey, do you run Panoptix? Absolutely. How do you run it? Well, no. How do you run it? I'm not going to show up on your lake. I don't give a shit, right? How do you run it? Well, I'm doing this. Okay. What are you seeing? Well, I'm starting to see fish break off. Ah, me too. And you know what I'm saying? It's one of these things where, like, the coming clean conversation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And guides, musky guides are excellent at just running their mouth. If you're not excellent at running your mouth, you're not a good musky guide. You got 10 hours of time to kill and 10 seconds of catching. And, you know, once we get past the BS, what's happening? I'm hearing it from guys that are on pressure water. I'm just telling you, don't shoot the messenger. Don't take this up the flagpole. This guy, he's a moron. Don't care. Never have. Never will. But the amount of pressure that's coming from, because the production has been so high. So anglers are starting to see it, and they're going out with Panoptix, and they're not catching fish like the guides were. Where the guides I know are now scanning way more open water, fish that they've not encountered before, or fish that are not seeing pressure, because it's one of those things, Jay. Nobody had it. Like, it was mythological when it first came out, right? Then it picked up a little bit, and then the guides had it. And then the guides that wanted to be guides bought it. And then the high-end clients bought it, and it disseminated, and the price comes down. I want to say my first Panoptix unit was like 5 G's, right? By the time, I think it was like 4 or 5. It was something crazy. Like, oh my goodness, you got to be nuts. I'm just telling you, this is becoming a thing. So how do we overcome Panoptix pressure, right? Not picking on it. I'm hearing massive report the amount of people that are sharpshooting in Minnesota, right, Jay? Makes total sense. Pressure water, big water. How do we sharpshoot? Right? Drive around 5 miles an hour. You got one point to the left, one point to the right. You see a fish or you see a blob of light. You stop, you redial in, you throw it. He's 40 feet out. You drop a bulldog, you drop a kraken, you drop a titan, blah, 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 fish on in. That has been what is happening in the guide scene for a minute.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not. The straight dope is there are guides that I know that were like, I do not want to use panoptics, right? Well, if you don't have it on the boat and the other guy they went with had it, you look like a chump. And it's just like peer pressure, right? Well, why aren't you doing it? Because, you know, Lenny Krek's ball's catching four a day. And you're blanking. You see what I'm saying? Like, Joe Schmo's catching the hell out of him, and you're not catching anything.
Yeah, I think there is absolutely peer pressure involved with that whole era of technology. Sure.
You know, because it's been so productive. That it's the equivalent... In a guide brain commentary, it's the equivalent of people that's like when we were just absolutely annihilating fish on double tens, right?
Mm-hmm.
A guy going, I'm not going to fish double tens. What? Are you crazy? Right? Are you absolutely daft? You got to have been losing your mind. And there were guys who were like, I'm not fishing panoptics. And I know guys that have succumbed to the pressure. So they changed their mind. That's fine. And then they figure out how to use it and they're sharpshooting. So what I'm telling you, there's a heck of a lot more sharpshooting going on than anyone wants to admit. Right? It is not cool nor popular. How many times do you see sharpshooting in a video, Jay? Never. I there might be one or two on the tube of you or whatever, but you're not seeing, you know, Larry Thompson drive around on his boat with panoptics pointed out for 6 hours until he sees a fish and he throws at it. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is this sharpshooting is taking place. Right? You may not see it, you may not believe it, but I am telling you, mark my words, this is what's going on. So a majority, I don't say majority, don't want to choose my words wisely here. There is a contingency of guides that are solely reliant on sharpshooting currently. That has disseminated to their clientele. Right? From their clientele, it disseminates to their friends. And that is where we are at right now. And it's starting to become a thing. Now, is it good? Is it bad? I don't care. I'm not here to comment on that. I'm not here to make commentary. Is it good? Is it bad? Not my problem. How do we contend with that different kind of pressure? Right? How do we deal with that? Well, when I'm seeing fish that will turn off out of the beam angle of panoptic because they go no good, right? Or I'm seeing fish that I'm jigging and they come in, they go, whoa, 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 not normal, right? They flash in, they flash out, which is not typically what a muskie's going to do. I'm going, okay, something's wrong. To the extent now that I am probably 60-40 running completely dark out on the boat, Joe. No electronics at all.
Do you think those fish that, let's say you got your panoptics to the sky side and you're using it to spot follows, which we've done.
Absolutely.
And it's always helpful because fish
below the level of light penetration.
Sure.
It's hand in glove with what we've been preaching, yeah.
Now, are those fish in a different mode? Because they're coming in, they're already switched on, they're following a bait. So it is possibly or potentially not as harmful as just sharpshooting with that unit.
What do you mean harmful?
Like you're educating the fish. Like they're going to come in and Are they hitting that beam, or are they so switched on that okay. you know the be- they don't sense it and care about it?
So 100%, right? Let me put it this way. I encourage anybody, put your phone in a Ziploc bag and hit your audio recorder. Put a GoPro, put anything under the water, right? And then have a conversation at the same volume we're having right now. Hello, Jay, how are you doing, right? No, we're not emoting, we're not expressive, we're just talking. You're going to hear it 10 feet down, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shoot stuff every week with Tom with the GoPro. You know? Noise.
Yeah, you hear it.
No, you can hear me reel it faster, Tom. You know, I mean, right. He's plain as day. Yeah.
So, our voices, the sound, the environment is carrying, right?
Yeah.
The waves slapping create vibration. We're playing a game of vibration, right? If we can all agree that muskies are a non-visual predator, right? They might clue in on a flash, but they're a vibrational predator. They're lateral line intensive. It's been proven mm-hmm. in studies.
Right.
And how many times have you seen a muskie? Well, he came in, you know, go fish freaking Minnetonka, right? Or whatever, these metro lakes, and go throw your double eights and see what happens. You're not going to have a good time, right? Pressure water. So there is some kind of corollary between a negative incident and vibration, right? Now, what level of conditioning there is, who knows? We'd have to dissect their brain and understand what's happening as far as memory and corollary and all this stuff. It's way above my pay grade. But we can all agree that fish that see a lot of baits tend to shy away from those presentations, right? What are those presentations doing, Jay? Creating vibration. What is Panoptics doing? What is your sonar doing? Creating vibration.
Yeah, I mean, good point.
Right? So, again, they can't dilate their eyes. They can't do this. They can't do that. They're nearsighted. Dr. Bob, who's absolutely brilliant, they subtend to X, Y, and Z. The science of what we know says these are truisms. And everything else is vibration. So if they can pick up the difference between double eights and a single eight, I think they can tell when that thing's going. And Panoptics is, I think it's a LV, whatever. It's like 31 and the 32, right? Those are 31 beams going at once opposed to your downscan doing one, right? The way they
really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, little factoid. Jay, actually, I'm going to tell you something. This is crazy. I've never talked about this. Jay knows this. I'm gonna give up the ghost on myself. I have participated in, Jay, we talked to you recently about it. I have participated as a contractor in bathymetry studies because I have my captain's license. You're aware of that.
Right.
Okay. So there are companies that scan lakes for industrial purposes. They scan lakes for commercial purposes, such as CMAP or Lowrance or Hummingbird or whatever. But I've actually have a contract with a company that does this regarding bathymetry and pipelines. They asked me to run bathymetry studies with their equipment, which is way, way, way over the top, right? In comparison to what we have on a consumer grade boat. But they need somebody that can navigate the boat and hold coordinates and all this fun stuff, right? Having my captain's license, that makes me accessible to them. So we've been doing this for a while. The grade of transducer that they use, Jay, you can put your hand in the, I'm talking downscan, you can feel it.
Like, hold it there too long, you'll probably get skin cancer.
Yeah, like if you put your hand, okay. In the way we check it when we do these, so We hook this system on the back of my boat. You know, it is, goodness gracious, the transducer probably cost more than my boat. But it's about the size of a hockey puck, right? Which is not that, I mean, hell, I've got bigger transducers on my boat. Pardon. But the wattage, if you will, the voltage, the power of the transducer, you can physically feel it in your hand.
Okay.
They'll freak you out. Like, whoa. Like, it's like somebody like pushing, lightly touching your palm. You're like, whoa, that's weird. Well, your hand is not dialed in to feel that, Jay. It takes a decent amount of force. Guess what a muskie's lateral line is hyper accentuated to do?
Yeah, no doubt. Right.
So, whether we have established my case or not, I have always been an advocate for do what thine will, right? Whatever makes you happy. You want to drive around with panoptics and you want to harpoon gun them, I don't care, right? If it's legal, it's legal. You know, I don't recommend it. But what I'm seeing and what I'm getting is this. There's obviously vibration. There's obviously a corollary between a negative effect and that vibration, just like a presentation. If I'm on pressure water right now, I'm blacking out. I'm going dark. Absolutely, positively going dark, right? How do we deal with that? What do we do and how to contend, right? Doc Boy Randy, Jay, of all people, pressure. He's out on pressure water. He caught a fish trolling, Jay. If he can do it, anybody can, right? You know, come on. He's a doc boy. His name's Randy. It's ridiculous. Pathetic. You know, everybody, Doc Boy Randy dumbed into one, okay? Everybody. Now, he pounded a Minnesota super hog a couple days ago. But You're running into, on these bodies of water, a lot of sharpshooters. I'm going to tell you right now, the best way to overcome that pressure is trolling, right, in the same zones, but trolling blind. What does that mean? You better know where you're going. You better know your trolling passes ahead of time, right? The other thing I'll throw out that I'm doing right now is using my phone and using good mapping apps on my phone that are not connected to a transducer. So that's an option. Like on my boat right now, I have tons of units. It's ridiculous, but you know, I have a mapping unit, Jay, that's not connected to a transducer, right? So I can actually lean on that. But if you're a typical boat, you got a front boat, a front graph, a back graph, a console graph, or a tiller graph, turning that off or turning the transmit off and solely using the GPS, knowing, okay, I'm here, I'm X, Y, and Z, right? As far as your pass, your trolling pass is, I'm finding it to be beneficial for suspended fish right now.
Interesting. Okay.
One thing I can tell you, and it just like musky fishing always, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I bring this up for any of you who are going, huh, last year I was smacking the crap out of my tubes, you know, or doing this and doing that, and that's way different. Or, you know, they're coming in on this and the... It's because I personally believe we're hitting the wall of electronic output from the boat before it's off-putting. I mean, on my boat right now, four graphs, Jay. Two up front, two at the console. Right? If you had 40 inches of screen on your boat a decade ago, you were like Kevin Van Damme, right? Now, having four 10-inch units, I'm like not even scratching the surface of what is hip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not even like, whoa. Like, I'll have my boat at the Muskie Shop Bash. It'll be parked there, and people are like, oh, your boat looks great. Nobody's like, holy crap, you got the biggest graphs I've ever seen. No, I have four. It's four graphs is not shocking anymore. Right?
Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Maybe if I put six on there, I might get somebody to turn their head.
Neighbor Steve's running four.
Yeah. Neighbor Steve's
little,
running
you four. Know, little 16-foot boat.
I trust me. I know plenty of dudes that are running 3-4 graphs. A lot of electrical output, a lot of pulse in the water. We'll talk about it more. It's just commentary at this point. And like I said, what I've been doing on pressure water is I'm running blind. I'm running my GPS, right? I'm turning everything off except for just GPS, which is not pinging in the water. And I'm picking fish up when I'm not like in it. Again, is it a false corollary? Am I turning the panoptics on during the major? There's so many factors where you could go, well, was it this? Was it that? Was it this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see the benefits of running blind again, especially for bigger fish. Right? Suspended fish, bigger fish. It's starting to happen. We try to keep you guys ahead of the trends. That's what I'm seeing. It is what it is. Jaybird, let's get into some Q&A.
Sure. Oh, Steve, first, hey, guess what?
No.
New video coming out Monday.
Now I got to, hold on. It's Herbie. Hold on.
Okay.
Herbeck.
You fishing?
Now I'm on
Hello?
The, we're doing the podcast. You got me and Jay. What are you doing, baby?
No, nothing. Get it done. I'll talk to you later.
Well, I want to ask you about something real quick. I just did a rant kind of about what I was seeing, the negative effects of panoptics, right? And I admit my own hypocrisy. I've been an advocate of it. Now I'm starting to see fish turn off of conditioning. What's your thoughts on panoptics right now, like how it's conditioning fish? And are you seeing that or am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I mean, you know, like my thoughts are, I wish it never happened. Because I'm kind of old school, but you know, you got to stay up. You just got to keep up.
It's an arms race.
Some of the best fishermen I know, you know, didn't want to use it, but are forced to keep up. You know,
I said that when we were talking about
30 to 50 years of experience, and they can't keep up with somebody that's just a geek with fucking electronics. You know,
yeah.
So. And as far as fish conditioning, you know, I don't think that's even a question. I was hearing it 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it happens very, very, very quick.
Yeah, I brought it up because, I'm starting to see some things. And I said, it's like, you know, when double tens came out, they're unbeatable. Bulldogs came out, they're unbeatable. And then everything wised up.
And, yeah, but you know, I mean, you still catch them on them, and if you get off the hot colors and go to black, they still bite them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like that. But you know, conditioning debates is totally different than being conditioned to a beam that really affects the most sensitive part of their body big time, which
is
the lateral line. And also, you know, being chased and harassed. In areas of the lake, they felt they were secure.
That's it, dude. I didn't go there, but let's go there. Okay.
Because I think a lot of these places that they're being targeted now by power snipers. Now, I've used the scope for years now.
Power snipers. Freaking folks, you've heard of Chris Kyle, the American sniper. Welcome to Musky Power Snipers. I love it.
I mean, guys made it work, but it's just like back in the day, everybody had fun with cocaine. They didn't know it was hurting people. Now they do, right? So, you know.
Hold on, folks. One more time. What was that?
Keep them coming.
What? One more time, Herbie. Everybody, what?
No. What is it up there?
What's gone is gone forever.
It's very evident. As a matter of fact, I know I talked to you the other day, and this is a good time to bring it out. But you know, I've used it for two or three years now, and I've used it as I fished. Mm-hmm. I didn't power snipe, like I said before.
Right.
I didn't drive around open water. targeting fish. And a lot of these guys, maybe they catch a fish or two, chase them around. But my experience is on scope fish, if you get the cast right, if they don't bite the first cast, they probably aren't gonna.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are chasing them around for hours, changing baits, throwing at them. And you gonna tell me that muskie's the fucking sharpest fish in the country world ain't gonna become conditioned to shit? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's getting sickening. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, grassroots. I'm I have a love affair. 35, more over half of my life, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I gained a lot. I lost a lot. I lived a lot. I damn near died a lot on Eagle Lake.
Yeah.
And the guys are moving up onto it that have raped vermilion and leech and Mille Lacs for fresh blood. And I can't let it happen. I only got a few years left. And the last thing that I want to see is the lake that I love more than anything in this world, something happened to it like what's happening on other bodies of water.
Yeah.
We had the chance. We had the chance, I think, because Eagle Lake is the only lake with the Eagle Lake Association that convinced the DNMNR to put a night fishing ban. The only lake in the world that has a night fishing ban, and the the proof is there.
Yeah.
It saves the wildlife fishing.
I laughed about that. I laughed about that, and not to cut you off, but to slow you down. But because the ADD is on fire here, I've always laughed about it. People are like, is that ban on Eagle Lake for night fishing for safe navigation? I'm like, no one cares if you wreck your boat. That's to protect the walleyes.
Yeah, you can be out there having fun with your old lady all night, you know? But you just can't be fishing.
Right.
Now what I'm proposing, in this deal is ban scope. Because when I want Eagle to be the place that you scope your butt off any place that it's legal and get your fill of it, and then come to Eagle Lake and fish big fish like we did for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, the real way. And to leave it that way and not to, you know, have all the big, beautiful, big white ghosts that show up in the fall not show up anymore. Fish running from boats and everything else. There's already enough pressure. So my proposal is going to be, let's take off night fishing. And since it's saved the wildlife fishery, I mean, it's now number three in the Ontario in wildlife fishery, and take away live scope. And let's save the muskies now.
But tell us how you really feel.
I'm hot.
So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, some people might say, okay, I just did a rant for at least 30 minutes about, like, my feelings, how I'm seeing it influence my fishing negatively, right? Yeah. And like you said, I feel like we're having this moment, and I said it earlier, I think, where I said, this isn't going to impact the average guy's fishing until next year or the year after.
Too late.
When it's too late.
And it happens quick, though.
It happens quick where it's like, is it a genie out of the bottle moment? Or is it one of these things? Because again, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm not here to comment on that. What are you seeing as far as like the like when muskies hit that beam? Are they turning off? What is the, like, Steve Herbeck on the water? You're seeing it. What are you seeing happen physically with the fish?
Well, it happens quick within a season. And I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't power sniping. I just use it as I'm fishing to see if there's a fish behind me once in a while, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a quick first cast at a fish that followed in and did bite. Find it. Which way is it going? One good, accurate back cast at it. You know, that's what we were using it for.
Absolutely.
And if it could be used like that, obviously you're not going to legally make that differentiation. I don't think it would negatively affect that many because you're abused, but everybody's got abuse shit, right?
Yeah.
That's just the nature. That's the human nature.
Yeah.
So they gotta be able to have 5-7 scopes on their boat, go 5 miles an hour, cover 4,500 acres a day.
Yeah.
That's out of hand.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you and I think we didn't fish last year, but we fished the year before, right?
Yeah.
And you had just got your, you had the Lowrance scope on, right?
None of the fish we caught, we scoped.
No. But we moved one fish where we're like, where is he? And he's behind the boat. And something that is, I'm going to give up something that a lot of people don't know, but a lot of guys with scope know. Screw it. A lot of times a falling fish will be behind your boat after he breaks off, right?
Well, a lot of people think they run right back to where they came from.
Nope.
That seldom happens.
They go to open water.
Most of the time they go under the boat and keep going.
Yep. And they'll be behind you. So he followed in, he broke off the eight, you throw on the other side of the boat, boom, fish on, right? Yep. Yep. That was a nin. Honest to God, you and I talked about that 2 years ago. Like, oh, don't tell anybody. I remember. Yeah. You remember that conversation? We're like, oh, hell no. Right? You said, Steve, do you remember? Or not remember. You're like, what are they doing for you when they. And I'm like, they're going behind the boat. And we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of these. It's like this weird. The whole conversation with LiveScope. It's this weird hypocritical thing where, like, and I said earlier, like, every guide had to compete. Like, if you didn't have it, you were a scrub, right?
Yeah.
And I said earlier, I said, well, I have one on my boat. If I had 10% of all the Panoptix units I sold off my boat, of clients that go home, they go, holy shit, what unit do you have? And they buy four of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be somewhat of a hypocrite if it's not banned or until it's banned. I'm going to use it, but I'm not going to cry and moan and bitch if it is banned.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be happy that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing because you go, I honest to goodness think a lot. And again, I'm not Listen, if you're an open water sniper, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I just don't come to Eagle Lake.
But my thing is this, I'm going, yeah, your timing to call was, it literally, guys, this wasn't planned. Like, your call was like perfection on time. I was telling Jay, I said, I'm picking up more fish when I go dark. I turn everything off, right? Nothing.
Well, one thing I do, especially when I'm live bait fishing, is when I see a fish come up onto my live bait, I instantly turn the transducer the other way. My bites go to about 4 out of 10 with keeping the beam on the live bait fish. Mm-hmm. It's about 1 out of 10.
Wow, it's interesting. So, I mean,
you know, and here's the thing: the reason I sound so passionate about it is that, you know, I got a couple good friends who really started some of this stuff and are very, very good fishermen, made memories for a lot of people who couldn't really cast all these. So there's that aspect too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, one or two guys doing it, you know, all of a sudden this year, it's not even July.
No,
and
dude.
There's it's a five billion. Or six in each section of the lake scoping the middle of the lake at high speed with multiple. So what's going to be like in July and August? What's it going to be like next year? Tenfold. And it's going to be over.
Well, that's the thing is, like, and the hypocrisy of guiding is, like, you got to keep up on the latest trend, right? I told Jay earlier, I said, for a guide to not have live scope 4 years ago was like going, oh, I don't throw double tens. They're dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. So there's a level of hypocrisy there, but also too, like me, you, Danny, Cal, Richie, you know, we don't have the Eagle Lake meetup and go out there and run our boats 60 feet apart and scan the lake like we're trolling for shrimp.
Right, right.
You know, everybody get together. Let's have the live scope troll off.
And you know, you can be against it, and that's great for those people too. But most of them, you know, haven't used it. So, you know, it is a cool deal. It's funner than hell.
Yeah.
It's just too bad that, you know, it's harmful on the fishery. For one thing, it's not just the fish changing their patterns or how conditioned they're going to be. You know, there's more to it than that. When you up the catch rates by tenfold or more.
Yeah.
That means that there's that much more mortality. No matter how well you take care of fish, mortality happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you start having multiple people or everybody scoping and power scoping and catching many more fish, which is, we're there to catch fish, but when it gets to a certain point, you know, all of a sudden now you really have the potential of hurting a fishery, and particularly the most vulnerable fish, unfortunately, are the biggest. Those are the ones that die the easiest.
Let me ask you this, and I'm again not a loaded question. I've always said we are, you know, people talk about the golden age of things, right? The golden age of musky fishing. Are we at the end of like the best phase of musky fishing because of it? Because I've always felt like the last decade has been the best musky fishing there ever been. Everyone is catch and release. We have braided line. We have great leaders. We have great lures, right? Could this potentially be the end of the golden age? What do you think? That's a tough question. I'm turning into Barbara Walters.
It depends on how you define golden. You know what I mean? I mean, for a while, it's going to increase catch rates, like I said, more than tenfold.
Yeah.
You know, it's just increased. It's almost like the internet. How fast is that rapidly changing? And that's almost what LiveScope is like. It's like the internet. And that's how rapidly it's developing, how rapidly it's changing fishing and how we fish for them. And we haven't even seen the effects yet. We are only assuming.
Yeah.
But it's a fact that the more fish you catch, the more mortality there's going to be. That's why they put catch and release on Laxul.
Yeah.
Because of limited spawning and everybody going up there to catch their biggest fish. When it first was discovered, they had to put no catch policy on that lake because of mortality.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of people thumping them. It's even people just taking care of them. The biggest fish die easy.
Preach on. I mean, that's always a truism because, like, if the muskies I have seen die on my boat, right? Absolute. Hammer handles are giants. That's it. You don't kill many 44s. I can't think of like a 44, a 47, a 48. Have I killed fish over 50? Yes. You know,
it depends on the baits. It's the tongue.
Yeah.
You know, if a hook gets stuck in the tongue, they bleed to death. People don't realize that.
Yeah, that's where
their heart is, you know?
Yeah, they just pump out blood or you hook them. You know, some of these big fish come in, you're throwing double eights, and they hog them and you hook them in the gills, and it's moving on, you know?
Well, and that's another point that it can't be probably regulated, but I'm going to try and stress through postings and maybe with you, as long as you're here, I'm going to throw it out there now. I personally think all rubber, like tubes, bulldogs, medusas, and stuff under 14 inches should be all barbless.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you won't lose any fish. I mean, I can't tell you how many tubes I've taken out through the gills, because if you're working rubber baits right and not working them like a suet, just fast,
right,
which you have to do over shallow weeds or shallow cover, but that's how most people, a lot of younger people are using rubber, is if you let them drop, you give them a pause and you let them drop, you watch the best rubber fishermen in the world, that's how they fish it, and when they drop, that's when they grab it by, they intercept it, grab it by the head, and for that split second when there's no tension, they think it's real, they turn it fast a lot of times, that's how they get the head of that bait into the back of their mouth and into their gills. And I think we would save a lot of fish by going barbless on rubber baits, especially tubes.
Something I'll say this, and again, I love the Kraken. Obviously, that's my bait, my baby.
Yeah, but they don't know. It's when they grab that, they hit that hard head.
Well,
I haven't caught one deep on the Kraken.
That was exactly what I was about to go for. And I still... when I'm in Canada, I take the middle hook off for that very reason.
Yeah.
But the hard head, like soft baits, they tend to goomp. Hard heads, they go and they chunk and hold. Yeah. And the different
or instantly try and shake it.
And it's one of those things like you what you just said, and it's a truism. You have to catch a ton of muskies to see that difference.
Yeah.
You have to catch, you know, we're not, Steve Herbeck does not catch 50 muskies a year, nor do I, right? We're going, okay, we got a few hundred muskies a year. You go, okay, when it's soft, they go gunk, and when it's hard, they go, ah, and the hookup's better. That's a whole different conversation because, like, again, holy crap. And this is not a conservation variation of the podcast.
When no, this, I didn't make Scott say hi, and now you got me all riled up.
Hell yeah. Remember, I'm sitting here looking at my wall right here in the bait cave that looks like the muskie shop exploded. The original Bulldogs, the first ones. I'm not talking, I'm talking the ones that had like little scale patterns and he was hand pouring them, right?
Yeah.
The amount of fish that destroyed those, right? That small size. I'm not big on like July and August, not throwing standard sized dogs or smaller dogs for that very reason.
Yeah.
I
compare it almost to like seriousness of potentially mortally hooking a fish, comparing it almost to the old live bait single hook days.
Yeah.
You know, if you have them barbless, just pinch the barbs on them. They are so much easier to get out, or if they're hard to get out, when you cut them, they then are very easy to get out.
Yeah.
You know, so I and you don't lose fish. I started doing it last fall, and you don't lose any fish. Not unless you're just free lining them.
Let me ask you this, and this is. I don't have any biological reasoning for this. You and I have held together. We've held musky mouths open, right?
Yeah.
And if you stare at a musky mouth in a net, they have this webbed structure at the bottom of their mouth. And the very center in that webbing is this very vascular section. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Herbeck, right?
Yeah.
If you get a hook there, it seems like they 90% of them just die.
That's where their heart is. People think their heart's in their belly, like us. It isn't. It's in the back of their throat.
Are we positive on that, or what is that?
For call Rick Lax and ask him.
Yeah.
That's why they bleed. That's why they die when you hook them in the back of that tongue.
So if in the bottom of the mouth, right there, you go crap because. You know, knock on wood, I'll admit, I can think of like five or six that I'm like, okay, I killed this fish. Now, that's of thousands of fish where I've held them by the tail and gone, that thing's dead, right? Kill me. Herbie, you've killed fish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you catch enough, they die. Sorry, everybody.
Back in the day, I did a lot of them intentionally.
Right. That's, folks, when they put Steve...
But since 91, I haven't. And every one of them hurts, you know?
Yeah, when Steve Herbeck goes in their Freshwater Hall of Fame, they will bronze his tire iron. But...
Yeah, it's golden.
It's golden, sorry. Blood and all. But there's that section, we're on a different subject here. It's like, more hooks are not better. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, there's you get them in that back of the very back of that webbing, they're just done. You pull it out and you go, oh, they're just pumping blood, and you go, that's the end of it, they're over with. But you know, back to the live scope thing, you know.
Yeah, the only reason I was so passionate about it is I just, you know, it was really cool. I really enjoyed using it. I caught some extra fish. I caught a couple real big fish because of it. But I just see it being abused to the point where it's just not even fair to the fish. Yeah. You know? And it's basically being lazy, not to mean that musky fishing has to break your every bone in your body or tear every tendon like it has me over the years, but but you know, it shouldn't be just driving around 8 hours a day and making 20 casts. You know, I just don't agree with that anymore. At first I thought, man, that's really cool. Till I saw the impact and how fast it caught on and how sharp so many people are at it and how many people are just going out and going overboard with it. And I mean, it's going to look like downtown New York out in the middle of our lakes, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One thing that's very interesting that I should bring up. I had a talk with Luke Ronestadt this winter, who's a very good friend of mine and one of the most astute and sharp.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah.
In the country. And he said on Eagle, because of the power sharpshooters, the power snipers, they're seeing some bigger fish starting to revert back to structure, where that's why people started power sniping, is because of the extreme pressure day and all night Vermilion was seeing on structure 10, 15, 20 years ago. That's what moved the fish, a lot of the fish, even more than the natural suspension rate. And that's why the snipers were doing so good. Well, now, because of the extreme pressure on sniping, day and night now, there's some guys that are doing it, that are really good at it, that are just doing it all night. Mm-hmm. Because those same fish you can't catch during the day anymore. And now the second generation, they're able to catch them for a while now anyway, till they get wise to that after dark. But now those fish are starting to move back in more to structure like it was years ago because of the pressure out there. So these fish, you know, they don't like to be, you know, where they're getting pressured, you know what I'm saying? So there is that aspect too. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Absolutely. It's super interesting. Like I said, I was talking to Jay in the beginning of this, like, you know, not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. It is what it is. You know, it's especially with the podcast, like, we're always trying to keep guys ahead of the curve. You know, there might be the next thing. There might be this. There might be that. But, you know, the trend right now, and you're seeing it in Wisconsin before you got to Eagle, the amount of Wisconsin guys that are driving around doing this.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, the only guys that were doing multiple fish days were the power snipers.
Yeah.
Now, these are small basins. What I found out this last week and a half, I just got home today. The last week and a half, the small lakes, Cisco Basin lakes, they're small. They're 400 to 1,000, 1,500 acre lakes with a basin that's half that. They're seeing, obviously, the fish running from the baits and running from the tubes and not moving on them and stuff like that. I started trolling those lakes, and the fish are responding to the trolling presentation better than the scope. So
yeah, that's exactly what I was saying on the before you called was, you know, my game right now for pressure is go black, dark, turn everything off. Maybe don't turn your map off, right? If it's not connected to a transducer, get that transducer out of the water, and now things are happening where, you know, it's trends.
Even 25 years ago, I mean, when I, you know, that was before LiveScope. I mean, I knew the effects on those big fish on Eagle, and when I found a fish on a reef, a big fish on a reef, and I went back on him, I would throw a buoy. I would throw a buoy.
There you go. Yes,
like,
sir.
Like the old school. So I knew exactly where that fish, I'd throw it off this side 50 feet. So I knew exactly where that fish was, you know, and I would go out in case that fish was moving to another location. I would start way out and fan cast my way in, all my electronics and everything off. trolling motor, everything, just free drift. And that's how I caught, I wrote an article about it, Muskie Hunter, a long time ago.
Right.
You know, this was 25 years ago. And it worked, you know what I mean? Those fish know we're there.
Absolutely.
When you dive up in your boat and you start your trolling, don't think they don't know you're there.
Yeah.
And now with that high beam of the live scope, man, they're running. A lot of them are. They may come into 40 feet. I'm hearing 40 feet is the magic.
It seems like distance. It is. Yeah. Seems like I said that. It's funny because I said that earlier, not even talking to you about it.
Yeah.
I was like 40 feet was like, whoa, the cutoff.
Yeah.
Guys, we're not telling you not to run it. We're not telling you it's bad.
No,
we're not telling you what guides are saying, so you're not 3 years behind the curve.
Yeah, I don't fault anybody that's using it. I just fault the people that I feel are overdoing it.
Well, I mean, I'm just not a fan of personally. And this is personal opinion.
I'm hypocritical. I got one.
I've got it too, but you go out with 7 units and you make, like you said, 4 casts and get fish. That's great. You caught a fish. But, I just don't want to stand there and stare at a screen all day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's fine. If you want to do that, I'm not mad at you. You know, people get mad. And I get it. You spend, you know, $2,000, $3,000 on one of these units. You want to get the most out of it. But some of this power, like you said, power sniping, it's so well put. Where it's, you know, that's it. It's like, you know, let me put it this way. And I don't talk shit often, but let's talk shit. Don't you dare go, let's go electronics off. Musky fishing on Eagle Lake.
No.
You know, number one, you'll wreck your boat before me and Herbeck meet up for shore lunch, you'll die. You know what I'm saying?
Another thing that scares me that's coming along with this power sniping is the Hummingbird map that's going to be out here. It's probably going to have stuff on it I don't even know about.
Yeah, so
you
absolutely.
Put those things together. You put those things together and, oh, my God, how much pressure. And then everybody from Minnesota, there's a lot of people from Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, you know, Illinois, you know, that they're, you know, there's a lot of people scoping where they fish. So now they're looking for fresh meat. And I just don't want to see that happen on Eagle Lake. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have nothing against the technology. I just don't want to see it on Eagle Lake.
Well, hopefully things work out and it'll be, you know, it'll be what it is. Well, let's transition to something more pleasant. Herbeck, what are you seeing in Wisconsin right now? How's the bite? How are you contending with everything that's going on right now?
It's picking up. It's picking up pretty good now. A week ago or so, it was pretty tough for me with all them fronts coming through.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, there's more fish on that secondary break than there is in the weeds, you know?
Yee-yee. Yes, sir.
And so unless you can find a deep flat with, you know, like 15 to 17 foot flat that's got weeds up to about 4 or 5 feet, then there's fish using that kind of stuff. But I'm not doing real well, you know, on the traditional weed edge type of fishing. I wasn't. I think I got 13, 14 fish last week trolling, you know, and then the last couple of days we caught 4, lost a tremendous fish out on a flat, like I told you about. But all them trolling fish were not over the basin. They were on that break. Like if the basin's 60 feet, these fish were at like 28 to 35, you know, on that secondary break. And that's what I'm seeing. And I haven't fished enough after dark. A couple of my buddies have done very well a few times they've been out, but it's just, I can't get clients to fish after dark like I did 30 years ago. I used to look like an albino come September. I lived after dark.
But
it's just hard to find people that want to do it all night, you know, anymore.
Well, let me ask you this, Herbie. Do you have any days in Canada this year, or what's going on this year?
Well, you know, I go up there and do an instructional deal and get to fish with some of my old friends and stuff, but I'm basically there to seminars, train the guides, mark maps, do all that kind of stuff, you know, and spend time with my old alma maters, you know. A lot of the guides are still showing the new stuff that's going on so they can do a better job. You know, some of my friends stop by and we get to get out, get to go out and things like that. You know, that's the kind of gig I do. I get to get out and go fishing and fish with some of my old friends and that, but I'm basically there to help the young new guides get on track.
Oh, yeah. Great segue. Speaking of, Danny has been doing a Canadian muskie report, and Danny's just tearing them up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
he's just starting to muskie fish, but he's really had a good season on big walleyes, you know.
Fantastic. So awesome. Well, Herbie, I'll call you for whatever you wanted to scream at me about later, but
I can't even remember.
It doesn't matter. It was great. I appreciate you chiming in and just for the sheer veracity of just talking about it. And you know, it, guys, it is what it is. When you've been doing this long enough, you know, a lot of guys that they come into muskie fishing, they get real hardcore about it for 4 or 5 years and they give up. And when Herbeck's been doing it this long and I've been guiding forever, you see it and you go, how do we stay ahead of the next thing? You know, what do you do next? Next. Because nothing lasts forever. Sort of feels like that. Herbie, I appreciate it.
Before, time on the water trumped everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not the case no more.
No.
You know? That curve is over with the electronics. You know?
Absolutely. Well, Herbie, I appreciate you. I'll gab at you soon, okay?
Okay, bud.
Be good. Jay. we're literally...
Steve Herbeck, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks.
Woo!
That is how real the podcast is. Herbie calls right in the middle of that. I'm telling you about my thing. He goes off, and it just is what it is.
Some interesting stuff there.
And
really,
listen,
very thought provoking. Really is.
Is what it is. That's what I think. That's what he thinks. You know, I'm not saying it, whatever. Hot button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hot in the hot tub.
Get in the hot tub.
Hot water. Anyway, we were going to talk about the Swiss Army of Muskie Fishing video coming out very shortly.
That's right. That's right. Should be coming out Monday. That's so tomorrow.
Got a new video, a masterclass video coming out. Also, too, I have no desire to edit out all the bad words Herbeck said, right?
So, there's a few.
Yeah, some guy this week left some stupid review, called me potty mouth because I say words you can say on network TV. Go over to Apple Podcasts or whatever you listen on. Leave a 5-star review for us if you would, because it's getting old with the BS. That's all I'll say, right? So
yeah.
If you like the podcast, go to Apple, go to Spotify, leave a 5-star review. We would appreciate it. We've never asked in 5 years, but somebody's like, you have a potty mouth. I'm a fishing guide. I am not your deacon at the church. Okay, so
that's true.
Clearing that up. Anyway, guys, we will, honest to God, we're doing it in real time here, as always. We will get to your Q&A next week. That was not the plan, but we will hit it next week if you send a question in. We're just running long. Jaybird.
Yes, Steve.
Say guten Tag.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Man, come on. I had a rough night, and I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
On a dark water flow edge, cool wind in my hair, big cloud of mosquitoes rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a cloud of bait. My head heavy and my sights dim, I have to cast the night. Yeah, she swam in the weed bed. I heard the mission bell. This could be the fish I need. Gotta think this thing through very well. And she looked at my bucktail, and she swam away. Never saw that fish again. I got one thing to say. Listen to the Musty 360 podcast.